Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, October 4th, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adioye Jr. Joining me is the Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
A morning filled with bare naked ladies,
you know,
and Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
LMB.
Limp and Bizkit. Andy, can I say, I've been seeing you on my TikTok. It's popping up randomly as I've been scrolling through, just playing some Liza P. Just casually. When I see you, I stop by and I hang out for like a good 3 minutes.
Tap that little heart.
Can I give you like the strawberries or whatever?
I get that every once in a while. I don't know what they do.
Yeah.
But every time.
I think you're supposed to like do like a, and then like a, ooh, strawberry. And like do like, ooh.
Gang gang.
Hey. Yeah.
Yeah, gang, with gang. The GGs. Gang gang. Well, yeah. Whenever I end one of those TikTok stream sessions, which by the way, I've been getting trolled and getting reported for like last night's stream where I was streaming the Another Crab's Treasure demo.
Mm.
I got flagged for misinformation. Somebody reported the stream.
They thought it was a different crab game.
I don't know. I really don't know what's happening. I feel like it's really easy to kind of troll the system, unfortunately. Mm. But
what were you talking about while playing Another Crab's Treasure? Were you talking about the debate, the presidential debate?
Well, honestly, there was a guy who was like, well, do you think Biden's been a good president? Like that at one point happened. But I think that's probably maybe what got me reported. Because I was like, well, no, not really. But, you know, some good stuff has happened, but not overall not great. But whenever I end these TikTok streams, I'll see the money rolling in, Bless.
Oh yeah,
like
from all the strawberries.
Your transaction report today. Let me look at it right now. Your transaction report today for this stream was $1.17.
Oh,
it's rolling in, Bless. It's rolling in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe you should do one of those AI streams.
87 cents for yesterday's.
That's insane.
Crazy.
Funny enough, yeah. Coming off, you talking about Joe Biden, right? I was scrolling on TikTok. I came across a random ass TikTok of George Bush speaking Spanish. Like he was being interviewed in somewhere in South America. And he was like giving a full interview in Spanish.
Wow.
And I was like, I didn't know he spoke Spanish.
That's impressive.
And for a second, I was like, man, you know, maybe he wasn't all bad.
George.
I don't know about that.
Listen, war in the Middle East. Yeah, sure. Maybe that wasn't great. But the man spoke Spanish.
War crimes, but you're bilingual.
He's bilingual, you know what I mean?
You know, that's better than me. Like, I haven't done war crimes yet that I know of, but
now you know.
I'm not fully bilingual, so.
There you go.
Right in the middle of Hispanic Heritage Month.
George Bush
shown up by
Spanish.
George Bush,
that's
dude.
That's
crazy. W.
A wild stray.
Double U.
Have you finished Liza P yet?
I am starting chapter 12. I just finished chapter 11. I will not say the boss that I fought. But
I saw you fighting this boss.
Let me just say a baddie.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
But just a like 10 out of 10 baddie.
Yeah. How was Another Crab's Treasure?
Great demo. Had a fun time with it. It was essentially the same tutorial. There's two sections in the Another Crab's demo treasure. If you're not aware of this is a game that I think Blessing played for one of GDC when the devs were here, and then I got to demo it at Summer Game Fest and was really mad that I couldn't beat the boss and I couldn't go back for the boss fight because I had to play some stupid game called Armored Core 6 over there. I had to go watch Armored Core 6 at the From Software booth. But this section is essentially, there's a little tutorial section and then there's a bit tougher of a Souls-like experience. Another Crab's Treasure is basically SpongeBob but Dark Souls. It is pretty punishing and tough. There's a lot of really nice assist modes and accessibility stuff that you can add on to make the parry timing larger, add extra health, do extra damage, and you can also give Krill a gun, which is awesome. There's an accessibility.
That's the player. That's the
main character's name is Krill. There's an option in the assist mode that says give Krill a gun.
Hell yeah.
And the shell that Krill wears is just a straight up Glock. And
hell yeah.
And it just like shoots whenever. It's so freaking cute. It's adorable. This game is, again, don't expect it to be, if you're playing like at full difficulty, don't expect just an adorable little romp. Mm-hmm. It's cute as hell, but it is tough and punishing. Really cool boss fight at the end, though, of the main demo. And I'm looking really forward to it. And
does it have a release date?
2024 overall.
Gotcha.
2024 overall. And I got really sad when it was delayed. I was like, you know what? It's okay.
Yeah.
We don't need more
games.
We
have a lot of Souls likes this year anyway.
We don't need any more, you know?
Like, I feel like the Soul, if they had a category at the Game Awards for, like, best Souls like, you're already competing with Liza P. You're probably going to be competing with Lords of the Fallen.
Oh, my God.
Throw Wolong Fallen Dynasty in there.
Yeah, that happened.
We can throw Armored Core in there just because, like, it's not a Souls-like, but, like, it's from software, so it's close enough. Like, it's already a stat category.
Yeah.
But, yeah, get to 2024.
That's why I've been saying, like, it's one of those weird, you know those weird riddles where they say, like, I gave birth to you, but I am not your mother. Who am I? You know, like, those weird riddles where you're like, oh, you were the doctor the whole time. Like, just weird kind of, you know. The weirdest riddle this year is that, like, an amazing Souls game came out this year, and it wasn't Armored Core, or it wasn't from software who made it.
Yeah. Like, possibly multiple amazing ones once we get to Lords of the Fallen. Because genuinely, like, I'm excited for that one.
You got to check it out,
demo,
right?
Yeah. And, like, some of the boss design in that is looking insane.
I was just kind of peeking through the window as you were
like,
doing
what
it.
What does that look like?
I was, like, drooling a little creep outside.
I mean, you won't have to wait too long to see, because that game comes out later this month. Alongside Spider-Man and Alan Wake 2 in Super Mario Brothers Wonder and in the new Sonic game.
Stop!
It's happening, everybody. It's happening. But enough about all that. Let's talk about today's stories, which include the story behind Hyenas, Assassin's Creed reviews, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and a weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/yo-wrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, head to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get you the show ad-free, plus a bevy of bonus content. Housekeeping for you, a new Kinda Funny Games cast is up right now, and it's our review of Assassin's Creed Mirage. That's up over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And also, we're joined by the one and only Jarrett Green, who did the review for IGN. So go check that out, a special guest that we've never had before. Jarrett, how was that review?
It was a fun one. It was great to have Jarrett. I have not been able to talk to him for, you know, more than a few times here and there on Twitter in a long time. So it was just really nice to be able to catch up with him and talk about Assassin's Creed and talk Mirage and how we're all really enjoying it. So, yeah, it was a fun time. Don't look at the comments, though.
Never read the comments. Yeah, I haven't read the comments since 2020.
A lot of people are upset that I didn't just give the score, and then we just ended the video right there, you know?
Just respond to the good stuff, you know?
Mm. Yeah. I don't think I've opened Reddit in years. At least our Reddit. I've checked out other Reddits for other podcasts, and I'm like, damn, y'all are wilding about this podcast. I can't imagine what they're saying about us.
Oh, yeah. I pop in there every once in a while. Whether you like it or not, it's a complaint box.
Of course.
You know, and that's kind of understandable. That's why I always try to mirror what Greg says, where give praise to the things you love and shout out the things you enjoy. That's why I'm always tweeting out, like, great episode of whatever podcast. It's usually Dan Lebatar that I'm tweeting out, and like, great episode of the besties. Great, you know, like, there's definitely not enough of that, and you don't want the internet to be a place just to go complain about stuff. But there's always, you know, there's definitely some good eggs.
Yeah, and that's why I appreciate the one and only Janet Garcia, because Janet, she reads through all the comments, like negative and positive and all that stuff, and she knows that I don't read comments, and so she'll find positive ones and just send them to me.
Mm.
And I'm like, you know what? That's a good system.
Filter.
Yeah, you're like my own personal filter, where Janet, like, she's getting there.
Janet's a real one for that.
A little Brita filter right there.
That's a little Janet filter.
That's awesome.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Jedi Master Deadpool and Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Rocket Money, Shady Rays, and DoorDash, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have seven stories today.
A Baker's Dozen.
Starting with our number one. It's a lengthy one. All right. It's a big report from Andy Robinson at Video Games Chronicle. Canceled Hyenas was Sega's biggest budget game ever, it is claimed. I've pared this down, but even while pared down, it's still a longer article. And so I support you guys to go over to VGC, give them the click, read through the full article. I'm going to read through my own pared down version, which is still most of the article because there's a lot of interesting tidbits in here. But here we go.
I'm going to open it up on my iPad right now just to give. I'm going to leave it on there as well.
Yeah.
Because you want all the.
You want the ads to like roll.
Yeah, you want all them ads to roll.
New alleged details on the development of Sega and Creative Assembly's canceled live service shooter Hyenas have been published, including claims that it was Sega's biggest budget game ever before the company pulled the plug. The Japanese publisher announced last week that it was canceling the multiplayer shooter, quote, and some unannounced titles under development in Europe, following at least 6 years of development on the project. Developer Creative Assembly has suggested the game was canceled due to ambitious plans and high competition in the multiplayer shooter space. However, a new video published by Total War YouTuber Valound, corroborated by VGC's own sources, features claims from anonymous developers that a lack of direction, disruptive engine change, and overly cautious design contributed to its downfall. VGC has asked Sega for comment on the story. One anonymous developer wrote, quote, "So what went wrong? Total lack of direction, many of the leadership asleep at the wheel, but they never seem to lose their jobs. An engine change partway through the process, attempting to break into a saturated market and not committed to doing anything adventurous with the game," end quote. Hyenas, or Project Keaton as it was known then, was greenlit after the critical success but commercial disappointment of Alien Isolation, following which the Creative Assembly console team delivered the work-for-hire Project Halo Wars 2, which is also claimed to have sold modestly. Creative Assembly's management wanted to create a console game with broader commercial potential, with Destiny, Escape from Tarkov, and PUBG cited as inspiration. The game was a PvPvE shooter with support for up to 15 players in teams of three. The goal of players was to break into vaults spread across the map, battling AI enemies as well as other player teams, looting merch, and escaping the ship alive. The game was originally planned to use the Alien Isolation engine, but due to frustration with its tools, it was decided that the game would switch to Unreal Engine, which required a portion of the team to be temporarily moved to work on Total War. In 2019, before Hyenas had been announced, Creative Assembly's Twitter account posted a photo of Hollywood director Neil Blomkamp visiting its offices. According to its sources, the District 9 and Elysium director was a big fan of Alien Isolation, and his trip to the studio was more than a social visit, as he was actually providing feedback on the game's overall direction. At some point, Creative Assembly parted ways with Blomkamp, and Hyenas was eventually announced during a live stream in June 2022. Hyenas is believed to have been one of the super games Sega often referred to in its financial results, ambitious, big-budget titles it hoped would pay off with big sales in the future. Although it's not public knowledge how much Sega invested in Hyenas, former developers told VGC they believe it was the company's biggest budget ever for a game, beating 1999's Shenmue, which was once claimed to have cost $70 million. I got a follow-up tweet here from What Darren Says on Twitter, who tweeted out, "I was in the boardroom where they presented Hyenas game concept internally in 2017. Quote, PUBG, Overwatch, Destiny, and Tarkov will take 5 years to make. It was soul-crushing to see that's how games were made by my favorite studio. Such a waste. Hope the impact is minimal." Andy, I know you as a multiplayer guy. Were you interested in Hyenas? Was that one that you were keeping an eye on?
Hyenas was one of the many that we've been talking about and kind of, you know, having our own criticisms with being such a saturated market and so many of these games having trouble entering and finding their own fan base. Hyenas was always one of those that we referenced in that sort of storied PlayStation Direct or PlayStation State of Play, where we saw all of the different, the showcase or whatever, all of their
Concord,
different
Concord, Fair Games, like Marathon, all these shooters slash extraction slash ongoing games where it's like, all right, cool, I'm sure this is gonna have a battle pass and you're probably gonna want to be giving people skins and you're going after the Tarkovs, the PUBGs, the Overwatches of the world, right? Hyenas felt like it could have fit in that puzzle real easily of like, if PlayStation announced that from like one of their many studios that they're partnering with, you would have been like, okay, yeah, this looks like the rest of them.
Yeah. I always got the vibes of what was Cliffy B's canceled Lawbreakers?
Lawbreakers, yeah.
Yeah, with the zero-G sort of elements implemented.
Which did come out and was pretty fun.
Oh, Lawbreakers did come out. Yeah, yeah. That was a decent time. Yeah, I had fun with that game. But, yeah, I mean, this is just, you know, more of a tragic tale. You know, I think I didn't think this story could get sadder somehow. Because when the game gets canceled before it even comes out, it obviously had several playtests and had a small fan base, but seemed pretty passionate, just based on reading a lot of the comments on the announcement that it was being canceled. I wasn't aware that this story could become more of a bummer, but then to hear that it is one of the biggest budget games they've ever worked on. And in addition to having Blomkamp kind of, you know, consulting in the way that Del Toro can kind of consult on games,
yeah,
with vision and world and stuff like that. Yeah, even more of a massive bummer. And plus, less Sonic implementation right there.
Yeah, right? Like, less opportunities for Sonic to make its way to all to these different games.
Make a splash.
Yeah, this is one that is surprising for me, yeah, for how big budget it was, right? Like, when they first announced Hyenas, it was kind of announced in a low-key way where it just appeared on a trailer on YouTube.
Well, I had seen Hyenas many times, and it's probably based on my algorithms and the games that I'm searching for and looking for, mm-hmm, especially when me and Mike are Googling games to play for stream. We Googled Fair Games quite a bit. We Googled The Finals.
Yeah.
And Hyenas and The Finals were always super easy to mix up because of their...
like, the aesthetic, right?
The super edgy aesthetic, the neon colors, the big, bold fonts. Like, it has a great look to it. Yeah. It had a great look
to it. I mean,
I
would even throw X Defiant in there.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. I think X Defiant, I always just knew as, like, the Call of Duty kind of clone. But Hyenas was always meant to be more of the PvP, PvE, PvP.
PvPvE.
PvPvPE.
Yeah.
PvPvBBBB.
PvBBB.
It's bananas.
PvPvGo wee wee. I always knew it to be more of the extraction type shooter. And yeah, I am shocked that they are, you know, that we're finding out that this was one of the most expensive games they worked on. That is kind of insane to me that this was one that they were putting... when it gets canceled, I assume that maybe not a whole lot of work was put into it. And it just gets even more of a bummer find out this was, like, meant to be their cash cow.
And that's my thing is, like, over the last... I want to say it's been maybe a couple years or maybe a year of this game being announced and just in the ether. I would have assumed that, yeah, this is a side thing that we're working on. Like, this isn't something that we're putting all our chips in.
Right.
The fact that, yeah, this was a huge budget game. This is something based on the reports, obviously, right? Like, a huge budget thing. Seemingly they're looking at this to be one of their super games. Again, I feel like you can take this and compare it to the story that we've kept getting over the years of, yeah, the PlayStation stuff, and looking at the slideshows that they put out during their financial call and going, hey, we want to put in 60% of our budget now into live service, right? We're making a shift because we're seeing all the money that's being made via post-launch content, and we want to go after that. I think it's interesting also to look at, this game's been in development for 6 years, right? And the tweet I referenced, this was a boardroom. It was being presented and pitched in 2017. And in 2017, they're talking about, yeah, like, look at PUBG. Like, look at Escape from Tarkov, right? Like, these are right when these games are hitting the apex, no pun intended, and starting to make a splash.
And it was less saturated.
Yeah, and it was less saturated, right? That was when PUBG was the battle royale. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, there were others that came before PUBG, but PUBG was the one that made people go, oh, shit, this is now going to be a big genre. And immediately after, we get things like Fortnite, and we get things like Apex, and that happened pretty shortly after. I think that was a turning point for, I mean, right here, right? Sega, I'm sure also PlayStation, I'm sure also Ubisoft, I'm sure also Bethesda, I'm sure also any company that you're looking at that is putting out a PvPvE shooter or a battle royale or some type of, you know, ongoing battle pass driven title that is meant to be, hey, here's all the cosmetics that you can get after a while. Like, I feel like all that came to fruition in that, like, 2016, 2017 period. And now we're seeing all the fallout of, sure, some people making it work, some people being successful with it, but then things like this, where it is Sega looking at that 6 years ago going, hey, invest, 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 and then it takes so long to come out, and now you've missed the boat on it because it's already oversaturated.
Do you think that there's a world in which maybe they present this game better and we are able to see, you know, where the money is was actually put into. Because what, like, from my perspective, I am extremely surprised at how much money that they're claiming that this thing costs and claiming that it is like one of the most expensive things they worked on, mainly because I wasn't seeing any real like dev diary type things to show like this is where the budget was going to, with the most advanced AI you've ever seen in a video game or the most insane graphics you've seen come into home consoles and home PCs. I got to assume that a lot of this budget they're talking about is just mismanagement, and it is just decisions that weren't really made well, and you know, a lot of waffling between, you know, should we go with this engine, should we stick with Unreal, should we stick with our own thing. Like, that's the problem that I'm having with all of this announcement, is like, where was this budget going?
I think it's the fact that this game was in development for so long, right? And like, we talk about it where when games get delayed, right, we always praise devs and like talk about how like, oh yeah, just delay the game, just delay the game. But when when you look internally, if you delay a game a year, guess what? You're paying a big team full-time wage to work on this thing for an extra year. That is hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars that you're spending and like pouring down on this thing, right? And like, you know, delaying is often the right decision. But in a case like this, where it is, hey, we got this idea. Hey, we're changing engines midway through. Oh man, like, you know, right here, they also talk about lack of direction. They talk about overly cautious design. And I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I think it's, you know, it taking so long, but then also these games not being easy to make. I think that's another thing you point to too, where it's like, all right, cool. Like, we've seen so many examples of great single player action games. We've seen from Sega great platformers, great RPGs, and the thing like Persona, right? I think the examples of those big super game Fortnite style titles are so few and far between. Like, really, we can only name a few that are operating on that level. It's Fortnite, it's Call of Duty, right? Like, Apex is somewhere in the conversation below them, right? But like, those are few and far between when you're talking about the hit successes. And I think a lot of people are going after the hit successes. And I think even with the amount of budget, are you going to be able to place yourself in that market alongside them to actually like compete? I don't know. In terms of the marketing, right? Like, I would even look at XDefiant and say XDefiant's been doing a better job of talking about that game.
Yeah.
You know, like, XDefiant in terms of the game itself, I think it's fine. Like, it's not like I don't think it's Apex levels. I don't think it's one that's going to change the world, right? I don't think it's terrible either. I think it hits like this range of, oh no, I had fun playing XDefiant, and when it officially comes out, I might get in a few matches. I might play it for a week and then I might put it down, right? We'll see. But at the very least, I really liked the communication on it, and you can see where they're putting their efforts, because it was years ago now that they had that original closed beta, where it was, all right, let's get people in. I remember trying it and being like, oh, that seems fine. But then over the years, again, they talk about it. They show, hey, this is what we're doing. Hey, like, we wanted to come out here, but we couldn't make certain, so we're coming out at this time instead. Hey, we're listening to your feedback. So much of that, I think, goes a long way. It's the same with that when you look at early access games like Hades, where like Hades comes out in early access and it comes out in a certain state. And then over time, and you put Baldur's Gate 3 in this conversation as well, over time you get to that final release and now you've had all the feedback from fans and you've been able to implement all those things that people want in the game and launch like that and make them a big success. I think Hyenas, if it was to be if they had a version that can come out the door a few years into its development and have it be a fan feedback thing of, hey, we're launching, we're doing a soft launch here, early access, we're going to work on it and we're going to take in all the feedback, because ultimately, like, we're making something that's going to live and breathe by the community. If we're able to get the community to then, you know, tell us what they want and like have us, you know, build off of that and then put out a final version that is, all right, now here's Hyenas 1.0 that we all love, we all enjoy. I think that would be the way to do it. But even then, like, I don't think you can look at it as a super game. You know, I don't think super games are things that you're able to green light from the ground floor and then end up putting out. You know, I think it is, you got to start from ground zero and just like make a thing that people like and then build on it. And then eventually it turns into a super game like a PUBG or like a Fortnite.
I do hope that we get, great job by Andy Robinson and everybody reporting on this. If we could get more info on it, I think it'd be interesting to find out maybe when they started noticing some sort of negative decline in, you know, whether those signs were there way early on in development or whether in the last year they're like, hey, this probably isn't going to happen. Because when you have a game this massive and the general public doesn't even know when quote-unquote playtests are happening, that needs to be a big deal. you need to be able to talk and have like massive news that, for example, when Hyperlight Breaker goes into early access, I'm going to be talking nonstop about it.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that everybody is talking about the game that day. When Hades went into, like you just mentioned, Hades, when Hades went into early access, hey, we're starting it right now, download it right now. The game isn't out yet, but this is kind of what our vision is. When a game is this expensive, if it was just a low budget, whatever game that hop into early access, no big deal. But when it's something this expensive with this much name behind it, you can't be having these early access little periods that nobody knows about.
Yeah. I would love to be a fly on the wall.
There's just no hype behind it.
I'd love to be there in like the Sega offices with like the people that are having these conversations of, you know, during the day that the original trailer for Hyenas came out and when they saw the initial response, because I'll think that for something this expensive, you'd want to set the world on fire. Like, you'd want the timeline to be going crazy about it. The timeline was not going crazy. Like, I remember the trailer coming out and being like, oh, they're doing this Hyenas game. And like, I think we might've mentioned it on a Games Daily. I think it might've been like at the end of a Games Daily or something, or maybe right after an episode where I saw it and went, oh, cool. All right, cool. Like, they're making a shooter. Right. But it was the same exact response of when PlayStation announced Concord and Marathon and all these things were like, oh, all right, cool. We'll see how this thing goes, but not necessarily oh, I got to show up and like check this out.
Yeah, this is massive. This is, hey, new Call of Duty is available right now. Like right now they're having an early access or whatever, closed beta, closed alpha, open alpha, whatever the hell you're calling it. That needs to be a bigger thing as opposed to me scrolling on Twitter and seeing a promoted tweet for Hyenas.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, you know?
I think that's where Apex got it right also. Where Apex came out, was announced, and released, like, I think either the same day or like
the same day.
Yeah. Like, it came out, and all of a sudden people could immediately play it, and it could speak for itself. Now, granted.
And they previewed it with like big streamers and stuff like that who are familiar with the genre and stuff. And so they were able to get like that real big like push of hype and then it like immediately released. Also in the same year that they put out Jedi Fallen Order, which is insane.
And that's actually what I was going to get to is the fact that, hey, that's Respawn. Like, Respawn is a fucking proven, known, like, they know how to make a good feeling shooter, right? Like, they know how to make really good games. I would even extend the same to Bungie. Like, Bungie, I know I mentioned Marathon in the list before, right? And like, Marathon is one where I'm sure people are going to be excited about it because it's Bungie, but could you imagine if they were like, hey, Marathon, a new game by Bungie, is available right now for you to play, or available in early access for you to play right now, so that it could speak for itself, as opposed to just a trailer where you don't get much, right? A trailer and then a PlayStation blog post that is, oh, this is, I forget what it was now, what, PvPvE or Extraction? I forget what buzz terms they used, because I can mix them up with any of their games. Yeah. But like, you know, I think that is a more exciting and viable way to do it if the proof is in the pudding. And that's the thing that worries me about Hyenas is if they were to do it in the Apex way, is the proof in the pudding? Like, is Hyenas actually, was it going to be good enough to actually have that stamp and have people go, oh shit, y'all need to check this thing out.
This is the developer of Titanfall. You don't really have that.
Exactly, right? It's like, well, this is the developer of Total War. It's like, well, people like Total War, I guess, but in Alien Isolation, is that going to translate to a multiplayer thing? Who knows? I guess we'll never see.
It didn't, yeah.
Story number two. We got an Assassin's Creed Mirage review roundup for you. Like I mentioned earlier, there's a Gamescast up right now featuring our lead reviewer, Barrett Courtney, talking all about his thoughts on it. I know Greg touched the game as well. Jarrett from IGN, who reviewed it for IGN, is there as well. Go check that out. But for now, the game is sitting on Metacritic at a 77 and on OpenCritic at a 76. Jarrett Green from IGN gave it an 8 out of 10 and says, Assassin's Creed Mirage's return to the stealthy style that launched the series doesn't do everything right, but everything it does feels like it was done with purpose. This means a shorter game with a smaller map, fewer collectibles, smaller scope in combat, and a limited selection of gear to play with, all of which I found refreshing relative to the arguably bloated scale of 100-hour games like Odyssey and Valhalla. It also means an overly simplistic plot with mostly forgettable characters, but what the story lacks in depth, it makes up for with its straightforward quest progression and fast pacing. Though there's no big standout wow moment, Baghdad is a beautiful location in its own right, and the world's detail is focused inward, making every alley and hovel feel well-traveled and full of detail and history. I'd recommend Mirage to anyone who's lapsed on Assassin's Creed, as this back-to-basics approach is a successful first step in returning the feeling that the earlier industry-defining games gave me so long ago. Matt Miller at Game Informer gave it an 8 out of 10 and says, concerns about the conclusion aside, I still had a wonderful time in Baghdad's ancient alleys and palaces. Not everything is perfect, but the less is more design philosophy goes a long way to making this one of the most consistently engaging titles within the series for some time. And then Morgan Park at PC Gamer gave it a 77 out of 100 and says Assassin's Creed Mirage isn't the triumphant return to glory that I hoped it'd be, but it's a good first stab. Bear Courtney at Kind of Funny gave it a 4 out of 5, which is a great on our scale. I guess the first question I'll lead off with is to Barrett. Barrett, as seeing the other reviews online, does this line up with where you thought this would land?
I think it's a nice kind of nostalgia trip without it being like just purely nostalgia. I think there's a lot of just like really smart gameplay design choices here that emulate the early Assassin's Creed games while not doing anything like too crazy with it. Like, they play it safe, but I think it's a fun time. I talk about like in the review of like, yeah, like the original Assassin's Creed formula was a solid formula that we only got burnt out on because we got like 9+ games within the span of like 8 years, right? And they've gone That's back insane. To it. Yeah, I know.
It was yearly.
What a clip.
Yeah, there was 1 year where there was 2 games. It was Rogue and Unity. It was insane. That's not even counting the handheld games and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think the only reason like people got sick of it was because it came out so often, right? And with this being the first game in the classic style in 8 years, right? Like, I think it was just nice to be back in that world and that kind of design language for the Assassin's Creed games. Like I said, it plays it safe in both gameplay and story, so it doesn't have like the crazy highs of like some of the early games, like Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood. But it doesn't have like the demonstrable lows. It's a solid entry. I would love for Ubisoft in general to kind of hopefully like continue down this path of maybe not every release is as small as this one. I know they found success in their big, more open RPG games. But yeah, I would agree that like it's a solid one. Maybe it doesn't like stay in your mind super long after you're done with it. But while you're playing it, you're having a fun time.
Hell
and
yeah.
Like I said on the review, the biggest compliment I can give it is that we got this last week, early last week, and then we got Spider-Man a couple of days later. And obviously I had to prioritize this because I was on the review for Mirage. But at no point while playing it this weekend when I've had Spidey downloaded on my PS5 since Friday did I think to myself, well, I could just start Spider-Man. You know, like, yeah. I was having a fun time. I was really engaged. I do think it'll be interesting for people who have not finished Valhalla of, like, what they think of some of the story stuff near the end. I've had some conversations with other people out there who got review codes who were very confused, and I had to explain some
Dude,
things to
I'm
them.
I'm in a Discord full of people that, like, review games. And when I tell you that, like, a handful of them are like, what is up with where this game goes?
One of them hit me up, and I had to do a huge lore drop, and they're like, ah, that makes sense. All right, so I think that's going to be an interesting one because I don't know if like a lot of people who might jump into this being excited for, you know, a more old school Assassin's Creed game. I don't know if they're going to know like, oh, well, Bossum is in Valhalla. Maybe I should see where this goes and his story goes in Valhalla. Like, I don't know if people are going to make that connection and want to do that, especially if they vibe with this, but they don't vibe with the open world like RPG games. It's an interesting kind of tightrope there that they're walking, but honestly, overall, I do think it's a great time.
What would have given it a 5 for you?
I think the story is like the biggest hit for me. Like, I do think, and this is a problem with the entire not the entire, but most of the Assassin's Creed games. The franchise just has kind of like a villain antagonist problem, and you really feel that in the middle of this game. Like, there's not like a lot of target, like big like set piece targets that you have throughout this game. But even then, I felt like of the few that you have, there's like maybe half of them that I didn't really care of, like, who is this person? Like, what, like, I get what they're doing to the people of Baghdad, but I don't care about them as like characters really. But with that, like, it's still satisfying enough to like do the whole investigation thing where you're doing a couple of different quests to like unveil who they are and all that stuff. Like, it's still very engaging in that sense. But yeah, for me, the story was kind of like the middle chunk is where I felt like, Yeah, this was once thought of as DLC, and then they were looking for places to kind of like insert more of like a full length type of game here. So yeah, I would pretty much just like story and then yeah, like gameplay stuff. I don't know. It's a solid one. It just doesn't stand. It doesn't have the highs of like. Who's Desmond? You know, Andy. Remember that moment? Remember that moment in AC2?
I remember when he was like, "It's a me, Mario."
Yeah, he did. That is an actual Andy. No joke. That is an actual line in Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah, it was
he's got
cool.
an Uncle Mario.
I think that's as far as I got in that game, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm not an Assassin's Creed person.
This is it for me.
Like, I'm just gonna go play Mario instead."
Tell you what, I was very confused this morning reading a tweet half asleep from Greg Miller, who said, "Been having a great time pickpocketing people in Baghdad."
I was like Greg, come back home.
I didn't know what it was about. I was like, am I dreaming this? What's happening?
It's funny, like, as Bear is talking, as you like, when you ask them the question, we'll take it to a 5 out of 5. For some reason, my mind immediately started like putting together what my perfect Assassin's Creed game would be, of like combining other elements of other devs, you know, because like Ubisoft, I think, in terms of like the Ubisoft foundation slash like their fundamentals of how they make a video game. Those games just aren't for me, right? When I think of like the checklist, Far Cry, Assassin's Creed, Watch Dogs games,
yeah,
those tend not to be for me. But there's something about Assassin's Creed where I'm like, this game is almost my jam, yeah, just based on what it is, right? It's an open world stealth game where you're taking out targets. Like, that should be my shit. And like, I started thinking about it, and I was like, dude, if I could have the open world designed by Ubisoft in terms of like the, you know, historically accurate and like good representation of what those real life locations look like, because that's where they excel. Yeah. Like, that's where, when I was playing Assassin's Creed 1, fun fact, I was playing Assassin's Creed 1 at the same time I was taking an art history class in college.
Ooh.
And a lot of the art history like stuff that we were studying coincided perfectly with like that location in Assassin's Creed. So I'd like go to certain places, and it's been so long that I couldn't actually name drop them. But it was like, there was a building with like a big gold like dome at the top of it. And in class that same week, we're studying that exact building.
That's cool.
It wasn't the Statue of Liberty, but it was close. It was close. But I remember being like, damn, like, this is so accurate. Like, this is really cool.
And that's like, that's always been a labor of love for them. Like, especially in the more recent years, where they want to like integrate more of like teaching you the history of like certain places and areas, and like part of the culture of Baghdad, and even like the other games, and like Valhalla and Odyssey and Origins, they've been like really putting in the detail and work. Like, one of the cool like kind of collectible things that you can do in Mirage is just like, it'll be kind of like an animus looking like futuristic orb thing, and you go up to it and you collect it or whatever, and it'll give you a little tidbit about like whatever area you're in, or like maybe a building close by, and it gives you like the context of the history there, which has always been like a huge part of that, and like why it's like really cool to like see this like huge fantastical war between assassins and Templars.
Bear,
but like
your hands look so big on the camera.
Got that FOV.
Be rooted in like just like actual like history and stuff, and that's always like been the biggest part of the charm there. But I think, but,
like, I mean, to that, right? Like, Dome. What somebody in chat mentioned, Dome of the Rock. Dome of the Rock is, I believe, the building I was talking about that's located in Jerusalem. But like, if I could have that, like a Ubisoft design open world mixed with like the IO Interactive like stealth mechanics, mixed with like Insomniac traversal, and like maybe Sucker Punch combat, and then I gotta figure out how to write the story.
You gotta play Assassin's Creed Syndicate then.
Yeah,
I think
that's
it's got Britain. Like, yeah, that's
Nemesis system as well.
And you have like the two twins, and you can play.
Yeah,
back and forth,
it's Jacob and Evie Fry. I think. It's that game has like 3 or 4 out of the 5 things that you just mentioned.
Okay.
I, like, the one thing is like the IO Interactive Hitman stuff. Like, I don't know. Like,
I just want it to be in the stealth, dude. Like, yeah, I want to like really like have the
I think
stealth
Syndicate's got
scene.
Like the best like old school kind of combat where it's like, it's just like really fun and fluid, but also not like super easy where you just do one parry and like kill a bunch of people. It like Syndicate kind of cheats as an Assassin's Creed game because it's almost just like a Batman Arkham game, but Assassin's Creed. And that's why I think it's the best one, but also it's cheating a little bit there. So
hell yeah,
I'll check out Syndicate.
What about all the bag moms?
The bad moms?
Move on.
Bag moms?
No, just move on.
The bag moms.
Baghdad.
It's Baghdad.
Oh.
Just move on. That was terrible.
Cut to the ad maybe here.
ladies and gentlemen, do you want to see a bunch of bad dads? Go over to patreon.com/kindoffunny. I think we only have one dad here, actually, and that's Greg Miller. Mm. Tim's like a puppy dad, and so we'll count him in there too. Go over to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can support a bunch of bad dads and bad dudes. But since you're not, here's a bunch of good ads.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Did you burn your last piece of toast? Have the avocados gone bad? Is the hot sauce bottle empty? You can try grocery delivery from DoorDash. You'll get everything you want delivered when you need it right to your door. You've trusted DoorDash to deliver your restaurant favorites, and now you can get grocery delivery that actually delivers too. You already know how much all of us here at Kinda Funny love DoorDash, but with thousands of grocery stores to choose from, you'll find the best in your neighborhood and boost your local economy with each and every order. You'll get exactly what you ordered, or they'll make it right. You want even more value? You can save on all of your grocery and restaurant favorites with a $0 delivery fee on all eligible orders with a DashPass membership. With easy substitutes right in the app and best-in-class customer support, you can get 50% off your first DoorDash order up to a $20 value when you use code KINDA at checkout. That's 50% off up to $20, no minimum subtotal, and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code KINDA. Don't forget, that's code KINDA for 50% off your first order with DoorDash. This episode's brought to you by Shady Rays. Take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn. Durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. And that's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence, because they have your back long after you purchase. Every purchase supports the Shady Rays Impact Program, which works directly with nonprofits and their communities to empower and make adventure accessible for all walks of life. Exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. You can go to ShadyRays.com and use code KINDAFUNNY for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. You can try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Again, that's ShadyRays.com. Use the code KINDAFUNNY. This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and it helps you lower your bills all in one place. And it has surprised multiple of my friends and people at Kinda Funny how many subscriptions they have that they forgot they are still paying for. That's why I'm such a big fan of Rocket Money. It's so easy to cancel the ones you don't want with just the press of a button. No more long hold times or annoying emails with customer service. Rocket Money does all the work for you. Rocket Money can even negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is take a picture of your bills and Rocket Money will take care of the rest. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and manage your money the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. That's rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. One more time, rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Before store number three, I want to do a little show and tell. Because people in chat were asking about Barrett's shirt. Barrett, yes. What's your shirt?
This was an Instagram algorithm ad from like years ago that I got.
It's Boba Fett.
It's Boba Fett. It's like boba milk tea, but in the style of Boba Fett's face there. We used to do a show called Internet Explorers, and we used to have a segment called, Instagram Algorithms, and it was just a weekly segment where I would buy a new shirt every week and show it off from the Instagram algorithm. So, yeah, this was one of them. And this is, like, one of maybe two that stayed.
Mm. I remember a while ago, I believe it was on the show, where I called Boba Fett Boba Fett. and a lot of people were upset.
You're mixing up because
I was
like,
doing
you're combining it. Yeah,
like Wobbuffet, the Pokemon.
Oh, I thought you were mixing up Boba Fett and Babu Frick.
Mm. No. I think I'm thinking of Jango Fett too. Yeah, I think I just said Boba Fett because the Pokemon. And so, okay. And also, I'm not a fucking nerd, right? Yeah, I need to be on the up and up and all the Star Wars names.
I muted him. It's okay, Andy. You take the rest of the show. All right.
Made up. They're all made up names. They got 1,000 of them. It's like, how am I supposed to keep up with it? My other thing for show and tell is my cup. I grabbed this out of the kind of funny drawer in the kitchen. A lot of people were asking about it. It's Emma Watson. I don't know whose cup this was. I believe it's maybe Nick's cup, but it has Emma Watson on it. So that's the cup.
Mm-hmm.
Story number 3. We got a Forza Motorsport review roundup for you. Right now, Metacritic is sitting at an 84. And on OpenCritic, it is sitting at an 85. Luke Riley at IGN gave it an 8 out of 10 and says, after 6 long years, Forza Motorsport is off the lift and back in our lives. It looks great, feels great, sounds great, and it's brought with it the most impressive multiplayer we've seen in the series so far. With 500 cars and 20 track locations, it's hardly a small start, but now positioned as a platform, Forza Motorsport has the potential to expand into a seriously rich racing destination over the coming years. If Flight Simulator on 4 wheels is the plan, I'm here for it. First on the list of improvements Turn 10 should focus on is revamping the new RPG-inspired upgrade system that turns progression into an unnecessarily long road ahead of each individual car, and maybe bringing back the joys of split-screen multiplayer racing to complement the excellent online modes. And then Alessandro Barbosa at GameSpot gave it a 9 out of 10 and says, Forza Motorsport is a triumphant return for the simulation racing series, and it has never been as approachable or rewarding. And then Josh Wise at Eurogamer gave it a 4 out of 5 and says, a generous and lavish racer with thrilling driving, and that wants you for the long haul.
What a pretty game.
Yeah, I mean, it's a car game, right? If a car game isn't pretty, then it's like, what are you doing?
It's got to be super stylized if it's not, like, insanely pretty. It'd be cool if they added like a multiplayer kind of co-op mode where I could just be a pit guy.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like
if
all of Kind of Funny was a crew, let's say somebody like Mike is the driver, and I would just be a dude who, like, you know, replaces lug nuts or whatever.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of neat.
And like,
be very limited. I would just watch Mike racing the whole time, but
you could like do like a collaboration with Hitman, because remember in one of the Hitman games, one of the levels was a racetrack, and then one of us could be Agent 47, and then the game becomes, I need to like try to murder you guys while you dodge me as Agent 47.
Bless, have you been playing Hitman a lot?
I've been thinking about Hitman a lot. Yeah, it's such a fucking good game.
Yeah,
like I finally, when I did, people were doing the top 25 games on Twitter thing and sharing around the images, and I finally made the commitment and put Hitman 3 in my top 25.
Wow.
Yeah. Incredible video.
It's huge.
Congratulations.
I wanted to just comment on Luke Riley's mentioning of if this is Flight Simulator on 4 wheels, like if that's the plan, wouldn't Horizon kind of be more of Flight Simulator on 4 wheels? Like, you know, open world, go wherever you want.
I think it's the fact that Horizon is more arcadey, where Motorsport is the sim. It's all like, I think them trying to pitch it as an ongoing platform of a sim, I think, would be the comparison, because Flight Simulator is very much like, it's an ongoing game now, right? Like, I know Flight Simulator 2024 is coming out, but I assume that's building off of like all the stuff that they've already done with it.
Yeah, I guess so.
So yeah, that's cool for Forza Motorsport fans. I think you know, XCast is recording today. I'm sure they're going to talk about Forza Motorsport, so look forward to that for our review. But for now, we have one more review roundup for you, and this time it's for Detective Pikachu Returns.
Mm.
It's sitting on Metacritic at a 69.
Nice.
And then on OpenCritic at a 67. Carly Veloci at IGN gave it a 6 out of 10 and says, the mystery story of Detective Pikachu Returns makes some bizarre and unexpectedly dark choices to get to its underwhelmingly predictable conclusion. And as a result, it's unclear who this is all for. Is it for young kids who will find the simplified puzzles about right, or adults who grew up with Pikachu and can handle the more mature themes of the second half?
Ash's mom just like dead on the ground with a puzzle piece cut out of her skin. Jigsaw like, somehow involved.
What's going on in here? Is there fucking in the last second half of the game? Still a cute, bubbly animated adventure with humor, unique Pokemon to meet, and a mystery to solve. But the mystery solving is long-winded, the visuals are lackluster, and the gameplay
is lackluster.
The gameplay is so basic it might as well not be there at all. Goddamn. Giovanni Cole Antonio.
Six, though.
Yeah, right.
Shit.
Like, I was gonna say, I was like, that sounds lower than a six, but I don't.
Man, everything else must be pretty great.
Yeah,
oh, dude's name is Tim G. It just looks like Geddes to us.
I think that it is supposed to be like a Tim Geddes clone. Giovanni Cole Antonio at Digital Trends gave it a 3 out of 5 stars and says, Detective Pikachu Returns works as a charming interactive cartoon, but its simplified deduction takes some of the mystery out of it. And then PJ O'Reilly at Nintendo Life gave it a 7 out of 10 and says, Detective Pikachu Returns serves up more of what delighted us the first time around, with an endearing and exciting story packed full of fun and lighthearted silliness. We really do enjoy this gruff, coffee-addled take on Pikachu. He never fails to raise a smile when he goes off on one. And the game successfully straddles a very thin line in giving us adventure aimed at younger players that longtime Pokemon fans and ancient gamers such as ourselves can also enjoy. If you can handle the inherent repetitiveness of most of the core gameplay alongside some rather drab visuals, you'll enjoy this one.
The Porygon Killer is back.
Oh, that's really good. That's really good.
The poor Gammy Killer.
The poor Gammy Killer.
I hope Miranda Sanchez is having a great time with it because she's the number one Detective Pikachu fan.
Oh, look at this Growlithe. I mean, you put a Growlithe in a game I'm in.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a vibe of the visuals because everybody's talking about the visuals are drab. I guess
it looks like it was originally made for 3DS and they were like, well, we've got the Switch. Because it's also like it's been a long time since the first one, which was a 3DS game.
I guess my thing is like this is how I expect a Switch game to look like.
Yeah, I just think it's stylized to a point where the lighting, like that's a direct choice, and the lighting looks so non-existent.
Oh, okay,
just not present whatsoever.
Like, I can see that.
There were zero amounts of any sort of shadows being casted anywhere.
Yeah. Well, there you go, Detective Pikachu. Seems okay if you're a Detective Pikachu fan.
Sure.
If you want your coffee-addled Pikachu and you want some dark themes, apparently, in this lighthearted game.
I just want to see him, like, as Russ Cole in True Detective Season 1, just smoking the cigarette there with the string theory happening.
He, like, turns to Tim G, like, takes out his cigarette, is like, Tim, I just got done fucking. And it's like, whoa, what's
going on here? Another body was found.
Damn. It was Muck. It was Muck that did it this time. Story number 5, speaking of Nintendo, Nintendo is shutting down 3DS and Wii U online servers in 2024. This is Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. Nintendo is shutting down online servers for 3DS and Wii U games in early April 2024, with the exception of Pokemon Bank. The announcement came in a tweet and in an update on Nintendo's support website, where the publisher thanked players for using its hardware, but confirmed the shutdown is just 6 months away. A specific shutdown date will be announced later. Quote, in early April 2024, online play and other functionality that uses online communication will end for Nintendo 3DS and Wii U software, the post said. This also includes online cooperative play, internet rankings, and data distribution, end quote. Though Nintendo said plans are subject to change and could potentially arrive sooner than announced, the one exception to the rule is Pokemon Bank, which will remain online, but it may also end at some point in the future. All right.
Okay, then.
Cool, yeah. Nothing's promised in this world, says Nintendo.
They're the ones who get the free pass.
Yeah.
Pokemon, you can't touch it.
Exactly, because, like, what are you going to... Like, well, I guess for 3D, I was going to say, there's no Pokemon game on the Wii U, so what are you doing?
But no,
I guess
there's a lot of people still gaming and catching Pokemon on 3DS.
On the Wii, on 3DS.
Yeah.
I was going to say, can you do that in Pokken Tournament? I don't think you can.
No. Oh my god, that was a Wii U game, huh?
Yeah, that was a Wii U
game. Wow.
Yeah, and did they port it to Switch, or was it a sequel?
I think it got ported.
Was it a port? Make a sequel so I can play it this time. I missed it the first time around. And that seems like my shit. I feel like I would love a Pokken Tournament.
Display it on Switch?
You don't think, like, the behind...
Yeah, but, like, is there an online player base anymore?
You think the behind, like...
You can hit up Mitch Saltzman.
The perspective would be kind of odd. That's what always weirded me about it.
But, like, I was a big Dragon Ball Z Tenkaichi.
Ah, okay, yeah.
And so, like, I'm down for the weird fighting game shit. Like, yeah, give me a weird perspective. As long as I can play as Hitmonlee. Is Hitmonlee in the game, chat?
That I forget. I do remember... whichever one came out for the Switch, I remember Saltzman reviewed... I think I might have edited that review. That might have been the first video review I ever edited.
Oh, they'll really give Mitchell Saltzman any game that has to do with fighting.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Is anybody in the comments or chat being heavily affected by 3DS or Wii U being shut down? Because I don't have a whole lot to say on it other than, like, yeah, servers go down whenever hardware is old.
Yeah.
It's a very natural thing. But are there any things out there that you are still consistently playing? Like, I would love to know what the largest player base is right now for a 3DS or Wii U game.
Yeah, I would think that maybe it's just the Pokemon stuff, which Bank is staying up, which helps that. But yeah, like if you're somebody playing Pokemon Sun and Moon and you want to battle your friends online, I would think that, yeah, that probably sucks. But I think we're also far enough removed from it where, you know, the next Switch console is likely next year. I imagine late next year. And so if we're going to be getting a new Switch in 2024, I don't expect Nintendo to keep up its online service for two consoles ago. You know, I feel like that right there is kind of the cutoff is like, hey, the current console and the last gen console, you can expect some kind of online service. But two consoles ago, like now we're talking retro. Like if you're still playing that, it's like, you know, get to a retirement home because you're fucking old.
Splatoon 1 is still big, apparently. Wow.
Splatoon 1. Oh, yeah, I guess I saw, I think it was Andre from Game Explained saying that like, oh man, I can't play the best Splatoon game.
Hmm.
And I'm like, is it really like that? Do Splatoon fans have a preference for one over two and three?
But I didn't know Splatoon fans would be treating Splatoon 1 the way OG Warzone players and Overwatch 1 players were. Yeah. When they were like, we're going back to the original.
Like the Splatoon 3 shit.
I didn't know it was like that.
It's not the same at all.
Sorry, really quick. Someone made a joke in the chat, bless, where you were like, oh, they'll just give Mitchell Saltzman any game that has to do with fighting. And someone was like, oh, Mitchell Saltzman should review Sifu. He did review Sifu.
I was
going to
say, he probably did review Sifu.
So I'm just saying.
But that doesn't make it a fighting game.
He said best fighting game.
Fighting game, man.
Sifu was nominated for best fighting game because it's a game that makes me want to fight people over it. When y'all call it a fighting game.
It's a good game.
God dang it. So also, somebody in chat said Hitmonlee isn't playable, which is a bummer for me. But is Hitmonchan playable?
I don't
know. Let me know in chat.
Hitmonlee.
Let me know in chat if Hitmonchan is playable.
I'll bring up the roster.
Story number six. Maybe wait until after the story to bring up the roster.
Okay.
Story number six, five former Ubisoft executives have been arrested.
That's why.
This is James Batchelor at gamesindustry.biz. Five former executives from Ubisoft have been arrested by French police following a year-long investigation into sexual assault and harassment within the company. French newspaper Libération reported that three were arrested yesterday, with another two placed in custody today. Among those arrested are former chief creative officer Serge Hasquet and ex-VP of editorial and creative services Tommy Francois. Both left the publisher in summer 2020 following allegations of widespread abuse, harassment, and discrimination within Ubisoft, including claims against the two executives. The arrests followed complaints by the Solidaire Informatique Union and two victims in the summer of 2021. It is being handled by the public prosecutor's office in Bobigny, a district of Paris. Speaking to Libération, the plaintiff's lawyer, Maud Beckers, said the case goes beyond individual behavior and reveals systemic sexual violence, end quote. GamesIndustry.biz reached out to Ubisoft. A spokesperson told us, quote, Ubisoft has no knowledge of what has been shared and therefore can't comment, end quote. One of those serious stories.
Good.
Yeah.
Consequences.
Don't be shitty.
Yeah.
You know?
Consequences. That's always great. I mean, especially when people are... When people are making it a, when you're problematic, that's one thing. When it becomes a systemic problem,
yeah,
and it becomes kind of part of the culture, that's like even a level beyond the evil you're already committing. So,
and when you're like an executive with a bunch of power over people,
yeah,
and like you're using this power to mistreat them, and yeah, like sexually harass them, like I'm glad this is being cracked down on.
Yeah, rot. That's great.
Final news story. Story number seven, Red Dead Redemption Remaster quietly adds 60 FPS. This is Wesley Yenpool at IGN. Red Dead Redemption now has an option to play at 60 frames per second after the surprise drop of an update. Patch 1.03, which weighs in at just a few hundred megabytes, adds a 60 FPS toggle to Red Dead Redemption on PS5. The port launched on PS4 and Nintendo Switch in August and is available to play on PS5 via backwards compatibility. At launch, Red Dead Redemption ran at 30 FPS, only across PS4, PS5, and Switch, disappointing many fans of the 2010 epic. Physical copies of the game on PS4 are currently available to pre-order for $49.99, releasing October 13th.
This sounds like what a rogue employee did upon quitting.
Yeah, they're like, I'm going to release
into
the
back end and just hit the Switch to, yeah, let 60 frames per second be enough.
See, this reminds me of when Nintendo released Bluetooth for the Switch, like 4 years after the Switch was out.
Still,
and everybody was like, wait, you could do this? Like, you just had the capability?
It was like, always there?
It was
like, you didn't have to add hardware?
Always had Bluetooth, and you were just enabling it?
One of the funniest things that's ever happened in the industry. Like,
absolutely insane.
That day was so wild.
And yeah, like, I mean, this was one of the main complaints. Like, I remember what, when we got codes, Roger came in the next morning. He was like,
how do I turn on 60?
There's no 60 FPS. I can't play 60. And I'm like, are you sure? Because it's a PS4 version. And it's a port. I would imagine that. And I tried it myself. And I was like, oh yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
There's no 60 FPS on this thing. But hey, now they have it.
We just got to wait for a rogue employee like at Xbox to do the same thing.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Exactly. Well, the thing with Xbox is that they never released another Xbox version because it's backwards compatible.
That's right. That's right.
And so I forget if the Xbox, like, I guess 360. Stuff.
Yeah.
Like through boosting or whatever the buzzword. FPS boosted. Do you know, is Red Dead Redemption FPS boosted? Mike said he believes it is. So there you go. We're all happy. All right. Barrett has up the roster for Pokken. We got what? Charizard, Pikachu. Oh, yeah. I forgot about Pikachu Libre. Pikachu Libre is on here, yeah, too. Machamp, which I guess, like, Machamp is like
the guy.
It's like Hitmonchan with four arms. And so I'll take it. Gengar, Mewtwo. That seems OP. Shadow Mewtwo. That seems even more OP. Scizor. Suicune.
Caesar.
What was that? Sceptile? I've never heard of Sceptile.
Yeah, the rest of these are made up.
Blaziken. Everybody knows Blaziken.
Oh, everybody knows Blaziken.
Gardevoir.
That's a hot one.
Empoleon.
I was going to say, Gardevoir is a hot one.
Yeah.
What was that? Empanada?
Yeah, Empanada. Empoleon, Garchomp, Lucario, Krogunk, Weevil, Darkrai, Chandelure. I think the biggest
this guy is in a fighting game. This fucker right here.
This gives me a lot of Smash vibes right here, where you're getting a shitload of Fire Emblem characters and people still want that other thing. And it's you're giving me a Shadow Mewtwo in addition to the original Mewtwo.
Yeah.
And still no Hitmonchan and Hitmonlee.
Insane.
That's wild.
Also, can you look up Chandelure gameplay in Pocket? Because I really gotta see how this thing moves. But while you're doing that, man, Andy, Bear pulling up this clip is just so far away. Yeah. If I want to know what's coming out to Mom Graph Shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every week.
Out today, we got Blossom Tales 2, the Minotaur Prince for Xbox Series X and Xbox One, the fabulous Fear Machine for PC, Thief Simulator 2 for PC, a tiny Sticker Tale for PC and Switch. Thief Simulator 2 is what Greg Miller is doing in Baghdad right now. We got Dino Break for PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X and Switch. And then UDO, Unidentified Drilling Object for PC and Switch.
We're getting word that Red Dead 1 is only 30 on Xbox.
Oh, is it really? Mike is saying that Red Dead has an option to play at 60 frames per second.
Rayman, we need you to fist fight Mike to the death, okay?
And then whoever wins is the correct person.
But Mike can tag me in, and I'll elbow drop.
Not gonna lie, Chandelure gameplay seems kind of legit. Chandelure has a moveset right
here. Yeah,
I can't
hate it.
You were expecting to talk shit.
Yeah,
you know?
No, but Chandelure, like, he's like spitting fire with his fucking lamps. He's like using his, he's using his limbs. I don't even know what to call those things, but his limbs to like smash people.
Don't assume Chandelure's gender.
Yeah, you're right.
They're using their
limbs to smash people.
Yeah.
Looks cool.
I did have to play this a little bit for gameplay capture. And I was like, you know what? This was a solid game.
I was going to say, Airdy Cooper in chat asked the question, does Pokken own? And I couldn't tell you because I never played Pokken.
Hit up but Mitchell Sussman. Like play a couple matches with Mitchell. I'm telling you, Bless.
I guarantee you, if I hit up Mitchell, he'll be like, no. I'm not going to download Pokken.
I thought you were going to say Mitchell's like, yeah, great. Yeah, I've been playing for the last 4 weeks. I got back
I'm sure
into
Mitchell would be down. Honestly, Mitchell's such a nice guy. I'm sure he'd be down to play with me. But I'm not going to make him download Pokken on his Wii U or his Switch. I know it's on Switch, but like, I'll do the Wii U version just for the fun of it.
It's on Switch.
It's most pure on the Wii U.
Why?
That was the vanilla.
Why is it more pure?
It's most pure.
It was most pure on the Wii U.
But Barrett, the DX version has Blastoise.
It's most pure, Barrett.
Okay.
New dates for you. Warcraft Rumble launches November 3rd on iOS and Android. We do have a deal of the day because it's me and Andy at a shout out Elden Ring. It's $39.59 on the US PSN.
Get that now before that big old DLC dump.
Yeah. When does that come out?
I'm getting word today.
Whoa. That's crazy.
Massive 2023.
We got a squad up for you. Remember, you can write into kindoffunny.com/KFG to get your questions, squad ups, and more read on the show. Mage of the Evening Star writes in and says, hello and good light to you all. Looking for some training partners for Street Fighter VI to better myself, both for the ranked climb, currently I'm Diamond 3, and for local tournaments that I'm participating in. I am a man-owned main, but also looking to branch out for a secondary, probably Aki or Ken. All skill levels are welcome, and I am more than happy to be a teacher or rival or both. If you want to play some Street Fighter 6 with Mage of the Evening Star, you can add them with Evening Mage. Now, Evening Mage doesn't tell me what platform that is on.
Yeah, is it crossplay? Is it
something? It might be the Street Fighter, because Street Fighter has like a Capcom ID thing.
Yeah.
You might be able to look them up via the Street Fighter Capcom thing with Evening Mage, but if not, I don't know, just put in PlayStation maybe and see what happens. Maybe you get a random person.
I'm sure they got the ID across all platforms.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, it's probably CFN, because it's crossplay. CFN doesn't have like a hashtag number thing attached to it like Discord, right? Is it a challenge?
I don't think so. Discord doesn't even have that anymore.
Oh yeah, they got rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Brandon says Andy mentioned he wanted to be a pit guy replacing lug nuts. I think he meant to say he wanted to play this isn't a real wrong. He wanted to play Jassant and Justnut.
Oh.
Be better.
I think that is a year wrong. Thank you.
Estimus says Pokin is pronounced Pokin, like Pokemon. I think I've been going back and forth.
There's two K's.
But the two K's are there because it's supposed to look like Tekken.
And there's an accent on the E. I don't know what that does, but it's there.
I don't know what it does.
That means that you enunciate that more. You pronounce that harder.
I don't know, Mike. Grezik says that Red Dead Redemption is not FPS boosted on Xbox.
Mike's a big liar.
Y'all got to fight it out.
Mike's going to come fight him.
Yeah, multiple people. I got four different people saying that Mike is wrong. Mike says, check that you're wrong in one sec.
Mike just sends in like Red Dead 1 running an Unreal 5 mod.
Red Dead 1 running in Dolphin.
My buddy Jeremy sent me this cool video.
I promise you can play it in 60 FPS. God, insane. Well, ladies and gentlemen, well, Mike does that. Oh, we'll get to that in the post show. That's it for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tomorrow's hosts are going to be me and Tim. Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday live right on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Until next time, Game Daily. Sorry, my hands are sweaty and cold. It's been happening a lot lately.
I didn't feel the wetness.
No? Okay. No. That makes me happy then.
Some people say, look, that Red Dead's been at 60 frames for years on Xbox.
Mike, I need you to come with the proof. All right. Also, nice shirt.
Thank you. I've come with the proof. What was that kid that we were yelling about?
There was a lot of them. There was Grezik.
Grezik.
Killian.
You were right. I'm seeing no evidence that it's...
God damn it. I really thought you were going to bring the heat. I can't count on you at all.
That's the lesson we have to constantly relearn, Andy.
He doubled down three times. He tripled down. Get it together.
Yo, what the heck is that? Did I tell you I missed you lately? You know what I mean? How you doing?
I'm okay.
How you been?
I'm all right.
Yeah,
I'm
you've been good. Okay?
Yeah.
What'd you think of Another Crab's Treasure?
Good.
It's all right. I'm not loving it.
Really?
It feels a little slower. I guess like playing Liza P and like feeling what could be another FromSoft, like feeling the speed at which of that. This one I play, it just doesn't feel as speedy. It feels like when I hit it, it's not getting it when I need it. You know what I mean? The dodge isn't there. The parry just doesn't feel quite snappy,
I guess.
Not
snappy enough, really?
Yeah, that's what I would describe it as right now. I love the vibe. I wish the music... Blessing cranked up a little bit. They got a dope lo-fi beat, but like,
oh man,
hey,
that first boss fight's boss.
Let's crank that up a little bit.
That,
you know,
first,
I mean?
Boss fight sound. When I was playing it last night, somebody was like, "This sounds like Timbaland produced it," and it's so true. It's such
really
a
funny.
Good beat. It rules.
Welcome in everybody to your Kind of Funny Games Daily Post Show with me, Snowbike Mike, and your two incredible show hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. That's and me. One Andy Cortez. We get to talk all things games with you. So now's your time to write in via your Super Chats over on YouTube, or use that Amazon Prime and Prime Gaming sub with us here on Twitch. Whatever you write in, we'll talk about. We'll answer, just like Jay Poo, who wrote in with their Prime Gaming sub for 39 months. Andy, are you going to see TDH in November? Who the hell's that?
The Deer Hunter? Where are they? I don't know where they're playing.
Deer Hunter.
The Deer
wow.
Hunter. That's crazy.
You ever heard about the Deer Hunter video game? Back in the day on PC, you were the deer and you were shooting people.
Oh, yeah. Like, wait, you were the deer?
Yeah, I thought you were the deer. Yeah.
Wait, I was shooting.
Is this like a Duke Nukem funny twist?
Yeah, yeah, it was like that. It was like
I was thinking of like the what do they call it?
The usual kind of big.
You were thinking big butt. Yeah, no, I think it was called Deer Hunter, and I was the deer shooting people inside of like. Some weird, you know.
Yeah, because they had like the Cabela games.
It was a good time. Oh, Cabela games.
Like, so, okay, Deer, that's kind of like a, hey, we're being
Are you thinking of Deer Avenger? I can't. Maybe. The only other Deer Hunter games I see are like people.
Could be.
Hunting deer.
Yeah.
Could be.
Because I remember playing That was another Addison joint.
Addison.
Where I would play the I forget what platform it was, but he had a deer hunting game. I remember. I remember sitting, watching him play it, because he was one of those dudes where I would just watch him play games.
Addy.
He's like, pass the controller, you know what I mean, Addison? But I would watch him play games, and he busted out this Deer Hunter game. I was 7 years old, bored as hell. I've never been so bored by a video game before. And this kid was in his room just hunting deer, and I was like, Addison, put on some Grand Theft Auto.
Addy, do something.
What are you doing, Addison?
Oral Sanchez became a member for 9 months over on YouTube. Hey, thank you for becoming a member on YouTube and supporting us over there. Of course, remember, if you're watching on YouTube, we enjoy you watching over there. We appreciate if you drop a like on all the videos that we do live, because of course it supports the team.
I'm going to need to bring up Cabela's Big Game Hunter Ultimate Challenge for PlayStation 1.
Bring it up. But of course, you can always become a member, just like Twitch, and you can subscribe over on YouTube. And Oral Sanchez has become a member for 9 months and says, what's with Nick standing in front of the desk naked the whole show? That's a good one.
That got me. That was really good.
That's a good one. He wore a hat today. Threw me off. You know, Nick doesn't really wear hats. He likes to show off his hair, so it was odd that he was wearing a hat.
Really? I can't.
It's like when Bear wears a hat.
Yeah.
I get the same thing, yeah.
Bear never wears a hat.
Bear in a hat's never seen it.
Holy fuck.
This is what he was playing. It was the PS1 game. I was sitting in his room watching him play this shit. I'm like,
Loki looks like Silent Hill.
I'm like, switch over to fucking like, what was the other? Play some James Bond 007.
Yeah.
Or whatever else was on PlayStation 1 that he was playing.
Yeah, I was playing Deer Avenger 2 right there. You see this deer? That was what I was playing.
PC.
PC game back in the day.
Only
PC
$12 on eBay. You gotta pick that up.
Fuck, man.
You gotta get in the kernel. You gotta
get deep in my kernels right there. I'll have to have Kevin A. Sex come over and put games. I'm a PC.
You're gonna pay for Kevin to go all the way to your house to do this shit.
Kevin, help me. So this is what it looked like. This is what it looked like. You're shooting people.
Yeah, this
because the deer was out for revenge.
Yeah, deer is pissed off.
This looks like it's gonna show nudity at any time.
Yeah, you're so right.
Yeah,
you're so right.
It definitely could. You never know. You never know.
Mike, after this, we're gonna be hopping into something that I'm not looking forward to.
Oh, really? Tell them we're
playing Counter-Strike 2 after this. in the lab right now.
In the lab,
I've never played Counter-Strike before.
Okay.
But last night, people were hopping into my chat saying, Mike is playing Counter-Strike with a controller.
And I'm fucking popping off.
Is that allowed?
Okay, I got 4 kills at one. People were saying, oh my God, he's incredible.
I'm shocked it supports controller.
I'm a goat.
That's insane.
I'm a goat.
Like, that must be like an accessibility.
Now, let me tell you
you're not supposed to be playing Counter-Strike with controller.
Let me tell you what, Andy. I'm excited because I'm 1-0 in ranked. We're undefeated.
Really?
Right now. Me and the squad are undefeated. And so my goal today with you and Nick is to, of course, play. We might invite our friends over at Giant Bomb because they're playing right now, so hopefully we can play with them. And we're going to go do it. We're going to go get ranked together.
Okay.
I hope you're excited for that. But yeah, I'm going to play on controller.
It feels as dirty as when Nick plugs in a keyboard and mouse into a PS5, you know? Yeah. Like, it's just like, it's fucked up, and I don't want to look at Mike for the rest of the day.
Man's playing League of Legends on controller.
Mad Rocks writes in and says, heard you were watching D20, bless. Gonna be a while until you get to the best main cast season, Starstruck Odyssey. Don't at me, chat. Also, any plans to watch?
Right, stop
Pluto,
being a fucking nerd. Who's Barrett. This again? Who's writing this in?
Mad Rock.
Go outside, touch some grass. It's gonna be a while season until you get to the best season. What was it called again?
Starstruck Odyssey.
Starstruck Odyssey.
Don't at him.
Don't at me.
Don't at me, bro.
Touch some grass.
Why? Right. What's going on?
What's up?
I'm just making
fun. Okay.
No, I'm actually very excited to watch D20.
Also, any plans to watch Pluto, Barrett? Going to drop this month.
Pluto looks cool as
what?
Shit.
What's Pluto?
Pluto's an anime that everybody on the internet is talking about right now. Like,
really?
They're like one of the best mangas finally being made into an anime, and the animation looks awesome, and the logo treatment looks so sick.
This is going to be my answer for everything that is on Netflix. I don't have Netflix.
We got to get you on Joey's Netflix right away.
Yeah. I refuse to pay
for Joey's
Netflix.
Mom.
Okay.
I can get you on my parents' Netflix.
Well, I'm excited, Andy, because Spy Family's coming back. I mean, if you haven't watched season one of Spy Family, I highly encourage you because I think you'll really love it.
It's really chaotic and fun.
I need to catch
heartfelt.
Up on My Hero maybe next year.
Oh, my God.
You're on the current season. Just finish it. Aren't you? You got to My Villain Academia.
Yeah, he's
at
very close. He's close. He's close. You're in the window.
I'm getting close.
Also, now, Mike, that was a surprise announcement for me at least last week where they're like, hey, Spy Family season two out next week. And I was like, what?
Next week. Be ready.
I don't know where.
Now, Baird, I'll tell you. You know what I played? The My Hero Battle Royale. And I'll tell you what.
Oh, I've been curious about this.
Strong Rumbleverse vibes.
Oh,
3v3, 8 teams inside of like the cool training zone, the chaos, like. Yeah. Emergency zone, so it was a cool vibe. An interesting roster. You have such a big roster of heroes and villains. It is interesting who they chose. You're going to love some. You're going to hate others.
Can I be
but
Mount Lady?
You know what? You can be Mount
Fuck
Lady.
Yeah.
You can. And she does get big.
Ultimate baddie.
What about you don't the like other the dragon
what
lady?
About the other horny lady, yeah.
The dragon lady? Oh, the bunny lady.
No, the other horny... Oh, bunny lady.
Oh, bunny lady's
no,
a baddie.
No, he's thinking about Midnight. But the other horny teacher that's like...
Yeah,
oh, Miss Midnight. Midnight, yeah.
Yeah,
no, are she's they, not
like,
in
we got to investigate what, you know, what's going on with her and, like, the students. She's just doing so weird. Like, she's always just saying weird shit, and it's like, this isn't appropriate, lady.
Everybody, are you excited? Because 4 minutes from now,
all yeah, the emergency thing. Yeah.
Gonna ring. Oh, yeah.
That's the push-up alarm.
Yeah. Wait, at 11:20?
At 11:20, yeah.
11:20. Why 11:20? Eastern?
If I put
well,
this in
it's
the
5 p.m. in the, it's going to ring. You know, this is all getting us on the Skynet.
Yeah, emergency alert system.
This is the moment.
This is every 3 years they test this out.
This is where everybody...
I know because Marcus Brownlee...
Yeah, there's a lot of... So, oh, my God. I saw something on Twitter. I don't know how true it is or not, but somebody... Because a lot of weird conspiracists are worried that this is the government switching on the thing that's going to turn us into zombies after the vaccinations.
Yeah.
And
oh,
I saw.
Shit.
That's why I didn't get vaccinated.
That'd be sick. And that'd be sick.
No, I'm just kidding.
And I saw a tweet that was talking about some Reddit thread that said that something about their landlord won't be around for repairs or something like that at a certain amount of time because they're gonna have their phone off because they
don't want
their
activated.
Thing to get activated.
I don't have my phone near me, so I'm not getting activated. I don't have my phone near me.
Could you imagine if, like, that happened and, like, we're one of the people where it's, like, caught on camera of us turning into... Like, we would be immortalized.
Well, right?
The end of the world would happen.
We'd be caught on the montages.
Look,
you
know? I'd be...
Like, not everybody
I'd be applauding because it'd be the first time one of these crazy fucking losers got something right.
Yeah. Like, there's probably a good, maybe 40% of the country that's not vaccinated, I imagine, because there's crazy people out there. Yeah. I might be overestimating, but, like,
a lot of them are dead by now, blessing.
Mm-hmm. Like, there's enough there that, like, if we did turn into zombies, I feel like they would get a Walking Dead-esque TV show afterwards, and I think they would make it to the next civilization, and we would be in the montages. Like live on a video game show.
There it is.
Oh, God.
There it is. There it is. Oh, they're getting
early.
Activated.
It's a couple minutes early.
There it is. I didn't get mine.
2 minutes early. Push up alarm.
I don't have my phone. I'm not in it. Let's jump in with some fun stuff right now.
Why is Plessic also getting up? Oh, God.
It's got to be in all the things. Hello, chat. It is great to have you all, of course. Please mute your phones. Figure out your phone life over there, everyone. Let's keep it going right there. Bear Baldy has resubscribed with Prime Gaming. Malak has resubscribed with Prime Gaming. Thank you both for that. 5-star man with the resub for 10 or for with a tier one sub for 3 years. Hey, 5-star man. Wait, I thought Mike said you couldn't play scary games because this is what Andy wanted to do. What does that mean? Okay.
Can somebody in chat tell me how to make it so that my alerts are in English? Because mine is automatically in Spanish.
I think there's multiple.
Is it multiple?
Yeah,
they got multiples.
They got to make sure it's going on.
Gotcha. Okay.
Cool.
I just want to make sure that I'm brief. This isn't like it's more so like I want to be informed.
Okay.
In case the alien apocalypse does happen.
Yeah.
We're gonna play scary games. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what 5-star.
We're gonna play scary games. Lemon Bendy resubscribed with the tier one sub for 15 months. Says thanks for streaming, y'all. BJ Bernardo with the Prime Gaming sub for 37 months. Hey, y'all. Bless. What rapper should I listen to if I want to get back into the game?
Ooh, JID has been my suggestion, like my first suggestion. If you're like looking for more modern stuff, because like he, I mean, he has like a flow that I would say is timeless, right? Like, I think no matter what era of rap you're into, JID is kind of easy to get into. Like, he's a great storyteller. His flows are insane. His production is great. Like, I think he's just an overall great package. That Nas has been on such a great streak of releasing albums. Like, his last six albums have all been incredible. I'd say if you had to choose one, go with King's Disease 2. But like, his latest album, Magic 3, is pretty incredible also. If you're looking for something with a different vibe, or like if you've been out the game for a while and you're like, what is the sound right now? Check out some Travis Scott. All right. Travis Scott's recent album, really good vibe, right? It's like, it's some rapping. It's mostly like
Cactus Jack.
This cactus, that's what
the
they
kids call him.
We need to get that golf package.
I sent you. Yeah. Hey, Nike, you got two golfers right here. We'd like that. We'd like those shoes. We need to.
We want the Cactus Jack shoes.
But yeah, Travis Scott is way more melodic. But like, his production is dope. Like, you know, think of him as more of, you know, a producer, I think more so than just a rapper. But like, I think if you go into it with the right mindset, there's a lot of good tracks on his last album.
I want to read a super chat from Dylan. Says, okay. Andy, did you watch the Pixel 8 event this morning? I did. Oh. And I pre-ordered the Pixel 8 Pro. I got the Pixel Watch 2 for free.
Nice.
And that's it. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm excited about it. And I'm giving my dad my old phone. Well, the phone that I bought couple of months ago, which is the Pixel 7a.
Is that Hermione Granger on your cup there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Cool girl in the background says, hell yeah.
Okay, we did that. CJ writes in and says, iCarly reboot has been canceled after three seasons.
I know.
Didn't know.
Sounds about right to me.
Roger McCorney was the one that let me know this morning. He sent me a Slack message saying iCarly got
canceled. How was the reboot?
I only watched the first season, and honestly, it wasn't great. Like, it didn't compare to the original run of iCarly. That said, like, I would see clips pop up on my TikTok from, like, more recent stuff that they're doing. It seemed like it was getting up. It seemed like it was picking up. Like, they really reignited the love tension between Carly and Freddie. And it's like, okay, well, now you're picking up on some stuff, but it seems like as they're getting there, they just fucking cut it. Oh. Which I get.
That's not what made the original show fun, you know?
You're right, but like,
it was the hijinks. It was the older brother. It was, you know, them doing their show and trying to put the show together. I didn't care about like
the back and like their
relationship
crush,
or whatever.
Or Freddie's crush on Carly. I think really what the show needed was
and who's the kid who's always shirtless? Who was that kid?
Gibby.
Yeah. He's fucking hilarious.
I think this show needed Sam, but obviously like the actress for Sam had such a bad experience with Nickelodeon that she didn't want to go back.
Oh, yeah,
she
totally
wasn't
fair.
Coming back.
Yeah, she was not coming back. But I think without that character, the dynamic wasn't the same.
Keeping it moving and having some fun. Grant writes in, and with the Prime Gaming stuff for 3 months. Thank you, Grant. Says, hey, kind of funny crew. Are my dreams of sitting by a fire, cozy with a coffee on a winter's morning, playing Little Devil Inside dead?
No, I think you'll get it eventually.
But not this winter.
Not this winter, no.
So you won't be able to get cozy by the fire.
I guess, maybe next, in February. Next winter. Yeah. Winter 2024.
I mean, who knows with like climate change?
That's true also. Yeah, you might be sitting
cozy
by the fire.
You'll have a blizzard in fucking June or something.
Look out the window in July, it's going to be fucking, you know, you're going to be snowed in.
Also, I read that title, and for some reason, I thought it was a Dark Pictures anthology game.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You're thinking of Devil and Me.
Devil and Me.
So many to get lost in. That's right. Your boy, Mike, has played both Forza and Assassin's Creed this
week. Yeah.
Oh.
Had fun with both of them, so I encourage you to check out both.
Dang, you should have hung out for KFGD. We talked about both those things.
There was an incredible review just posted today from One Bear Courtney about Assassin's Creed. I thought it was very, very good, so go listen to that. I beat it. 14 and a half hours to beat the game.
Why weren't you on the review?
Because I'm Mike.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair. Hey.
I also don't know if, like I didn't know you were playing it until you had, like, texted me, and, like, I didn't know that you had beat it until yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Beat the game.
So I don't know if anybody expected you to actually play it.
Had a really good time. OG Assassin's Creed vibes. There's some goods, there's some bads there. I thought the writing went up and down. There was some cool moments, there were some bad moments. NPCs still have no idea what the fuck is going on, right? Like, there's this one mission where you got to steal a golden, cool little fragment from somebody, right? And, like, I rolled up, and I just assassinated him every time, and the guard standing next to him was like, oh my god, and then I just walked away. They never did anything to me. It was crazy.
I did have a clip saved for the review that I never sent to Kevin, where I was in like a big fortress, and I stabbed one person. Like, there was one guard who was far enough away, they were like, where, who was that? And then they slowly walk over, and I just went around a corner, walked up behind him and stabbed him, and then like another guard came in, and I just kept doing that like over and over again. What's the vibe, you know?
It's a vibe. It was a good time, though. I was happy to go back to old school Assassin's Creed vibes, and that's what it was.
You were also someone I had to explain the ending to as well, I think.
Right? Yeah, story. You know what? If you're not in depth like Baird is on the story of Assassin's Creed, you're going to look at this and you're going to go, I don't know what the fuck just happened. Yeah. So you'll have fun with it, but you're at the end, you'll be like, yeah, whatever. That was cool. But man, did I get some dope stuff.
When I was playing, I forgot what game. When I'd see the word Abstergo, I would just vomit and just turn off the console.
I will say, like, as far as the modern day stuff goes, because this has been the regular question, it's pretty much non-existent.
Oh, and then somebody wrote me, they were like, hey, did you use the super, like, stealth move where you fucking teleported into people?
Yeah, multi-kill.
Guess what? Never used it once.
Really?
Now, that might be because I didn't read the tutorial.
That's exactly why. No, that.
But I'll tell you what.
It's not a mite.
Tell you what. I didn't need it. Didn't need it. I had too much fun without it.
It is.
I'm old school.
What's funny is that, like, you mentioned, like, those, you know, these characters don't know what the fuck's going on when you're stealing from them. Yeah. And I started to think, I was like, what game did I play recently where I had that happen? Because I was like, was it Cyberpunk? Was it Starfield? And then you just reminded me that I did play like 20 minutes of Assassin's Creed Mirage when we got the code in. But I quickly stopped because I was like, well, we got Spider-Man in now, so I'm going to shift to that. And yeah, I was pickpocketing people, and these motherfuckers did not care.
They have a very cool pickpocket mechanic minigame that's super good, right? It's a fun little quick time event where you wait for the circle to go into the other circle. You press the button, you get it, right?
Field goal,
but here's the issue. There's no reward for being extra stealthy about it, right? If I try to lure the guy into a corner, if I go super creep mode on him, the circle doesn't change at all. It's always either going to be fat because it's just a regular jabroni, or it's going to be important because it's an important moment. But, like, I don't get rewarded for going stealth, so I just rub my body up on him.
You get rewarded for going stealthy by not getting caught. Because, like, when they do notice that they got pickpocketed, they will yell for guards, and guards will come, and they will look for you.
I mean, I literally just grab it and just walk away, though, every time. So I never got caught. I just felt like...
But that's
like
the reward! That's the stealth part of it!
I mean, it was a fun time. So it was a good time.
I want to do voice acting, but I just want to play the person yelling for guards.
Guards!
It's over here!
Also,
I want to read a super chat from 3 minutes ago. Macho is in the chat getting angry that we aren't reading their super chats. But your super chat came in 3 minutes ago, which was 3 minutes after this, the one that we read about getting cozy by Little Devil Inside. So you may have paid for it a while back, but it took a while.
I haven't gotten the Macho yet.
Didn't do like a lot of
chats. It took a while to prop. Like, I'm seeing it here on the screen. It took a while to get there.
Macho, I haven't got you yet.
And then Dependable Madman's like, they better read. They're not reading the super chats. You guys got to relax. Chill out. We see him. They're in order. They're in order. 10 minutes ago was Spartacus.
Yeah.
And then we got 6 minutes ago, Grant Galoose talking about Little Devil Inside. 4 minutes ago, Machos. 2 minutes ago, James Ocelot. Michael M. Costa.
Well, fuck me.
And also, let's be real.
Telling the story. Get the Macho.
The real reward here is that you're putting money in our pockets, all right? Yeah. Let's be happy about this. You're keeping us alive.
Let's read Macho.
Andy, there's something in
the
water today, man.
Macho says, you guys owe me 2 super chats. A good extraction looter shooter on console needs to be like Tarkov with The Last of Us elements. Plenty of looting, crafting, realistic survival elements, and zombies. That's what I said yesterday.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about yesterday.
That's literally what I said.
Escape from Ellie.
Uh-huh.
That's basically what Last of Us 2 was.
Yeah, imagine like a 1v5.
That's a good one. That's
a 1v5 and Ellie's the one.
Ellie's the one.
Yeah, I don't know if you'll ever see a hardcore hardcore audiences, I don't think, are playing on console like that. Like,
you don't think console audiences want a hardcore extraction shooter on their
console? Because when you're like sorting through inventory and stuff, Tarkov is like going through all the pieces and that's like a nightmare to do on controller. Like, unless somebody can figure out a really smart, quick way to do that, I don't see it happening.
You know, remember when like DayZ came to console and stuff like that? It never got like a massive like, oh my God, we love this. It's crazy. You know?
Yeah, it just kind
of
happened.
Some of those are just PC special.
Yeah,
games,
the PC players are
those
rare.
Are big moments on the PC.
The hardcoreness will exist.
And then Michael M. Costa writes in and says, bless, Mac Miller Circles vibe recommendation.
Great album. Yeah, I would recommend anything Mac Miller, honestly.
Okay.
Spartacus with 19 months of Prime Gaming says, check out Maskell. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's hilarious. Think One Punch Man goes to Hogwarts.
Okay. And then Macho yesterday says, ES need to model after Tarkov, but have more PvE. A good ES needs big maps, lots of crafting, lots of looting, and survival. A Last of Us type would be dope.
The cycle could have been that.
Let's be real. Okay, wipe your fucking minds. Do you two jabronis really want a Last of Us extraction shooter? You're saying to you're saying right now, after all the hype we give PlayStation and what they're known for and do, you're looking at me and go, Mike, a Last of Us extraction shooter would change the landscape. Be fucking real with me.
I think Last of Us multiplayer thing would be fun. I think they just got to figure it out. Like, because Last of Us factions for Last of Us 1 back in 2013, that was a vibe. Like, yeah. That was fire. I enjoyed the different modes. I enjoyed, like, the Last of Us feel. Because I think that's the other thing, is that Last of Us, in terms of its combat, and it's like, gameplay has such a good feel to it that I think it could translate well to a multiplayer thing. Again, extraction is not, like, in the top five of my list of what I want out of that. I think if they really committed to it and try to make it happen, maybe you have something fun there. But I also think that you're going to water down a lot of the mechanics. I don't think you can have it be the thing Andy's talking about, where it's like you're going into menus and doing a lot of the management. I think you would have to strip back a lot of those elements and make it way more about the moment-to-moment being in the game and being in the gameplay. But at that point, it's like, do we want to make an extraction thing, or do we just want to make a survival 4v4 thing? Or do we want to make a battle royale, which I also think could be dope for a Last of Us. Like, I would be so down for a multiplayer thing, but... Yeah, like, extraction isn't my go-to. Just because extraction, it doesn't seem like it's the most popular slash profitable thing in the world unless you're a handful of games.
I think the only thing that I'll butt up against that is I think, like, an extraction shooter or something of that ilk works so well within the Last of Us lore that, as much as everybody loved factions, when I looked at factions, it kind of, it feels like you're minimizing this gigantic world that is, like, totally torn apart, and you're all these survivors, and it's boiled down to a 4v4 shooter. Mm-hmm. Like, that that kind of, like, minimized what I think of, like, the whole concept of The Last of Us. So, like, I feel like an extraction type open world PvP VE game that exists out there, where you are taking down clickers and there may be other people over there, those may be humans. Those gunshots could be other players.
Yeah.
Oh, you hear somebody over a voiceover mic. Oh, shit. They know we're here. Like, that's the intensity that I want out of a Last of Us multiplayer style game. And I guess I know people love the gameplay of factions. I know that's why people really gravitated towards it. But I am not excited by the idea of a 4v4 team deathmatch, but you're Last of Us, like, survivors or whatever. That just doesn't really make sense to me.
Yeah, this to me is forgotten in 3 months. 6 months after launch, none of y'all are playing this.
Interesting.
We just move on. That's just how I feel. We see this too many times, time and time again. Just stick to what you're good with. Stick to lock it in. We have a couple more, and then we'll get out of here right away. We do have a very interesting one from yesterday. Jay wrote in and says, did review codes for Spider-Man 2 go out too early? It is not a long game and has been platinumed already. Spoilers for Spider-Man 2 are already out on Twitter. So, of course... don't spoil it. Don't talk about your review. None of that.
Mm-hmm.
Did the game come out too early?
Let me tell you how this game ends.
No, it could never come out too early.
Yeah. Never too early.
Spoilers aren't
for people to review it.
Here's a spoiler for spoilers. Mm-hmm. Spoilers aren't coming from reviewers, right? Yeah. Like, spoilers are coming out off of probably people that either broke Street Date or, like, people that like, I don't know why. Like, I'm not gone into the spoiler story or, like, what the news is there, but, like, usually when that stuff happens, like, you go back to The Last of Us 2 and when spoilers are coming out, like, that wasn't a reviewer thing, right? Like, that was more so the Naughty Dog being hacked, right? Or, like, copies getting out there for some other reason. So I think that's not, like, really a factor in terms of game reviews coming out early. But yeah, I think for review codes, I don't think there's a such thing as review codes being given early. Like, I think
that's
honestly,
always, that's so,
we don't get enough time.
That's always great to have, like, massive grace periods where you aren't. Again, it's a luxury to have this job, but it's nice to not have to be like, all right, I have to go home to, and I got to put at least 5 hours into it. You know, easy for me as somebody who doesn't have a significant other, doesn't have a kid.
Won't play soccer with me.
Won't play soccer with Mike. Yeah. Really tough for people like someone like Greg, who has a lot of, like, more adult responsibilities at home, and you have to be with the family, and Tim's got his dogs. And he has The Bachelor, you know?
Yeah, like, I mean...
Oh, God,
like, even Assassin's Creed was, like, only a week. Like, the main reason why that worked out for me was because Alyssa was out of town this weekend. So that's, like, why I was able to be given that. And, like, yeah, a week is fine for a 20-hour game. I would have liked to, you know?
Yeah.
So you're not crunching through. And, like, because you're not just playing the game. You're trying to, like, play the game, collect your thoughts, give, like... backing reasons of like why you feel like how you feel,
and also make the content is the other thing, right? Like, you got to build in time in there for people to write the reviews, for us to, like,
make TikToks,
record the podcast the day before and all that. And I think the other thing too is that, like, you know, I understand how blessed I am and how blessed we are, right, to like be able to do this job that we enjoy, where it is we get to play video games, that gets to be our career and whatnot, right? But like, when you build in the time of like, hey, we get in a 40-hour game and it's a few weeks before the review embargo, so we have a couple weeks to play this game that's 40 hours, our jobs don't necessarily stop, right? Like, I'm still appearing on podcasts for the most part, right? Like, there was when I was doing Zelda where like I was able to kind of be off content for a while because that was a 100-hour game that I'm the only person reviewing, and like I have like 2 to 3 weeks to make this happen, and so like I need more time for that. But with that, right, like that often infiltrates our free time as well, where like I look back at the last 6 games that I've reviewed in the last month or so, like month and a half, and I'm doing so much of that after work hours. Like, that is me. Like, I'm devoting weekends, I'm devoting post-work time doing that stuff. I would love to be able to like just review the games during my full-time job hours, right? Because it is part of my full-time job. And that's not me complaining, but it is me building in like the nicety of being able to get a game early enough to where it's like, oh, okay, I can actually do this as part of my job as opposed to take it home and have to like, you know, form these critical thoughts and like clear out this game and make sure I play enough to then have it like be reviewed at work.
And whoever's leaking it, quit being a dick, dude.
Yeah, stop being an asshole.
Being a dick.
Final three, let's get through them right now. Marathon by Bungie, I believe, will be the extraction shooter that is successful and breaks through the mainstream like Fortnite and BRs.
I think it... The only reason I have the most confident in that is because it's Bungie, and that's going to be a big deal.
Is it going to be on PC day one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, probably, good. Yeah. Yes. Oh, you need to have a wider audience. You cannot just do only PlayStation, only Xbox. It needs to be on everything if you want these games to survive. We've seen that time and time again, that there is a number of key elements that need to be put in the pot to make these games successful, right? Crossplay, being on multiple ecosystems. Free to play is a big winner, right? Like day one on Game Pass, whatever that may be, there's a lot of pieces that need to go in. So yeah, hearing that it's on PC day one, that's great.
Yeah, I hope Marathon's great, okay. Right? Like, I think the only evidence we have to it possibly being great is just the fact that it's being made by Bungie. And so it's hard for me to go, oh yeah, I'm excited for Marathon, because I don't really know what Marathon is. But I hope that when we get there, it's dope. But I'm also like,
Devontae.
Bungie isn't beyond putting something out that's like not great either. Mm-hmm. And so try to balance that.
Devontae says, here's $2 for surviving the zombie activation. You both survived.
Thank you, Devontae.
And finally, CJ says, did you mention Housemarque's studio expansion?
No, I saw it on the news. It didn't make the show, but it's really cool. Like, what I saw is that they're relocating. I didn't even see the fact that they're expanding.
Okay.
But good for them. They should be.
Foam Stars for the win. And thank you, Macho, again for the extra $5.
Shout out to Foam Stars. Can't wait for Foam Stars.
You think that's going to be
open
hit?
Beta was this weekend.
Who knows? Call of Duty's here.
Who knows?
Who knows that's when Call of Duty's here? That's all.
And
that
thus boils
matters.
Down the whole reason for so many issues.
Everything get out of the way, because here comes Call of Duty. Ladies and gentlemen, that has been your Kind of Funny Games Daily Post Show with me, Bless, and Andy. We're going over to the lab to play some Counter-Strike 2. Of course, if you're watching live on YouTube, there's a brand new link. You can go click on it. If you're watching live on Twitch, we'll see y'all in T-minus 2 seconds.